Tonight's Big Brother Sunday recap is sponsored by TrueCar. You know, chances are if you need something, you could probably find it on the internet. I know all Big Brother season long, there's so many resources that I'm able to find on the internet, from all sorts of live feed spoilers to what's going on Twitter to Austin and Liz videos that you might see on YouTube. But one of the best things about the internet is that you can go online to find the fair price of a new car with TrueCar. Now with TrueCar, you can see what other people are paying in your area for the same car you're looking for, which will help you determine a fair price. They've even got a graph where you could see where on the graph this car falls in terms of the best deals on that specific car in your area. You can get a guaranteed savings certificate from a TrueCar certified dealer, and your savings will be honored by that TrueCar certified dealer without having to negotiate. Users often save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. No hassles, no headache. It's how car buying was always meant to be. Over 2 million cars have been sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and there's over 10,000 dealers in the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. To work directly with a TrueCar Certified Dealer, visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app and start saving. TrueCar, never overpay. Coming to you live from my in-laws' basement, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who some people would say the entire life is lived in an imaginarium. I am Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Sunday night Big Brother recap. We are here, end of August, August 23rd, talking about the Big Brother 17 season, which 1 month from tonight, all will come to an end on September 23rd, and we will kick off the premiere of Survivor 31. But a lot of Big Brother left to talk about. And here with us to talk about it all, our live feed correspondent for Sunday night. You know him from the Big Brother Happy Hour. Welcome in, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. You know, I'm 93% excited to be here. So
I'll take it. I'll take it. That's much higher than the normal amount percentage of people I interact with. One more day for me on the road. I'll be traveling back tomorrow. So we, by the next time you hear us on a Big Brother podcast, we will be back in the studio live this Wednesday night with Jason Roy. Very excited to talk about that this upcoming Wednesday, 9:15 p.m. Eastern time, after the Wednesday night episode of Big Brother. Usually we do the voicemail show on Monday. No voicemail show this week, sad to say. So the voicemail show is going on hiatus for one week only. It'll be back next week. I do have a podcast for you to listen to instead. Taryn, you know that show Full House that you don't care about?
I know it very well because I got so much crap for not knowing about it.
Yes. Well, there was an unauthorized Full House movie on the Lifetime Network over the weekend, and I spent 2 hours today talking with Eric Stein all about it. So that podcast is going to go up on Monday morning. So no voicemail show this week, but the unauthorized Full House story with Eric Stein will go up in its stead this week.
I'll have to watch it just for the podcast.
Yes. Well, you could just watch the unauthorized Full House movie and you would be like, you got the entire 8 seasons of Full House.
Well, there we go.
Yeah. So a lot of stuff coming up there. So excited for you guys to hear that. Very, very fun stuff. All right. So we are here live on robhasawebsite.com. If you want to get your questions into the show, of course, you could tweet us, hashtag RHAP, and then also post them on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. We also have the chat going on robhasawebsite.com. Let's talk about this show here tonight, Taryn, because I've pretty much been agnostic on Austin all season long. You know, I've sort of been rather indifferent to him, but tonight I just found him to be so annoying on the show. I really did.
I think it's probably just the exposure, to be honest.
Is it really? Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, he was in the diary. We got almost every single diary room was Austin's. He narrated the entire episode.
Every part of it was so annoying that I tweeted out during that speech tonight, really just chewing on the scenery. So he thinks he's so clever.
Yeah, you know, people were telling him afterward that it was a good speech. And it's just so funny watching it now.
Yeah. But I think let's start with Austin, because I think he's the top story at this hour. And I think that there's some question, is Austin playing a good game or is Austin doing a bad job? I saw Andy Herron tweeted earlier tonight, say what you want about Austin, but the guy is playing a really good game. And so I think that's where we need to start.
I mean, I don't want to disagree with Andy Herron.
Yeah, you'll end up on that beef list.
I mean, he's great, but Andy, that is. Austin, I don't think so. I think he's kind of like a below average player who has some knowledge of the game, which kind of makes him appear maybe a little bit average. And then he also has the benefit of, you know, having two twins to back him up, and they've been winning some competitions, and that's about it. I think he's peaked too early, and I don't see Austin winning this game.
Yeah, tonight was just really insufferable between all of the, Austin wants to do this, but Judas wants to do this. Can Judas go back on his word? And it seems like on paper, a good scenario to be in, to be aligned with every single person in the house. But in practice, it was a rather complicated scenario. And everything coming into this week was, got to get rid of Vanessa. He says early on in this episode, I'm not going to let Vanessa win my HOH week. Cut to, by the end of the hour, Vanessa has him right back where she wants, eating out of the palm of her hand.
Yep. I mean, completely.
And by contrast, I think that tonight might have been the most impressive Vanessa episode of the season.
Yeah, and it should be. I mean, to be fair, I think week two was probably her most impressive week as a whole. But this
refresh our memory. What are you referring to?
Week two was Shelly's HOH when she got rid of Devon. And that was the week where Vanessa was completely on the outs. There was an 8-person alliance, and Vanessa managed to flip the entire house and restructure it so that she was aligned with Shelly and Clay as well as Austin. And she found out about the twins and used that to her advantage and really set herself up to where she is today.
Okay, so Vanessa does a really, really good job. It's unclear exactly how much she knew that she was going to be going up on the block, like whether she just suspected or somebody told her along the way. Did she ever have confirmation, or she was just acting on her gut the whole way?
Austin told her that he wasn't going to put up Meg or James, so she knew it was going to come down to her or Steve. At first, she thought it was going to be Steve, but then when she had that conversation in the HOH room that we saw, it looked like it was much more, you know, back and forth. And then Austin was basically calling Vanessa up to the HOH room to tell her that he was going to put her on the block when she managed to talk him out of it right before the nomination ceremony, which we saw. But we didn't really get a sense on the show just how, you know, gung-ho he was. He had rehearsed what he was going to say to her right as she came in, and he said it all, and then she managed to flip it around.
So just to talk this through, why has Austin decided to go all in with brass tacks as opposed to the alliance that would be the Scamper Squad plus Johnny Mac?
So basically the reason is back when Vanessa and Shelly were on the block and Meg and James and Jackie came to Austin about flipping the vote to save Vanessa, they made that decision together and they went against Becky, which really bonded them and put trust with them, because it was like, hey, we're going to do this, you know, this thing, this cool move, and we're going to do it against this person that we thought you trusted. So that really bonded them. And then on top of that, Meg and James are very good social players. They don't have a lot of strategy, but they're very personable and they're very easy to get along with, and they've been hanging out a lot with Austin and the twins, and they really just enjoy their company. And so they're like, we like these guys, we want to stick with them because we like them. And that's basically the extent of it.
But they like them more than Steve, who seemed like he was much closer with the Aust twins during this episode, to the fact that that ultimately ends up with being on the block, that it's Steve and Johnny Mac.
Yeah, they are close to Steve, the twins more than Austin, and they do really appreciate what he did for them in the double eviction by not going after them. But ultimately, they like Meg and James more. They were going after Johnny Mac and not Steve initially, you know, before Steve started putting up a fight about being a pawn, which kind of rubbed them the wrong way. But before that, they were totally cool with Steve. They just wanted to put him up as a pawn next to Johnny Mac because he was associated with Johnny Mac, which is the last person they started to work with. So they knew the least about and they trusted the least, especially because they hear Johnny Mac yelling in the diary room all the time, and that really sketches them out.
Uh-oh. That's no good. It's like, how come that we've never had this problem before with all these other diary room yellers?
It's actually the yelling hasn't usually been a problem, but usually the person that gets the most diary rooms, they're usually looked at like, why are you getting so many diary rooms? It always throws suspicion on them. Maybe we just haven't had anyone that yells as loud as Johnny Mack, but we've had some pretty loud yellers. So,
boy, Johnny Mack was really nowhere to be found during all of this decision making during the episode. Did Johnny Mack put up a good fight to try to say why he shouldn't be nominated?
No, he thought he was good for a while. And then when he found out he was going to be nominated, he was pretty convinced that it was going to be just strictly as a pawn and Vanessa was the backdoor target.
Yeah. Okay. So we will talk more about Johnny Mack's reaction to all of this. So Austin really just came off as super wishy-washy in the episode, to where he starts off the episode, I think that Plinko said this in the chat room, where he's saying, hey, I'm not going to let Vanessa run my HOH, to in the moments before the nomination had to be made, he's sort of frantically like, okay, somebody just tell me what to do. Yeah. Somebody just tell me what to do. And to the point where he's like, all right, Vanessa, can I put you on the block? And she's like, dude, you got to do what's best for your game. He's like, oh, that's not helping. Like, this season is so crazy, where you really have to, it's like the Bachelor to get somebody to go up on the block. It's like, Steve, do you accept this nomination? Will you take this nomination? And he's like, no, I won't.
As long as you don't nominate with me with Johnny Mack, as long as we're not together with Johnny Mack.
Yeah, like, oh, okay. It's like, you really have to talk people into being nominated. It's I said this before on Twitter also, where it's like, you don't have to ever say to the HOH, yes, fine, you got it, I'll go up on the block. You don't have to say that. And then doubly, like, it doesn't matter if you say yes or no. It's not the sort of thing where you have to accept it. The HOH could say, I know you don't want to go up on the block, but you're on the block this week. That's tough.
Yeah, you know, Austin, he was allied with everybody in the house, so he really wanted to try and keep that by making sure that somebody agreed to go up with it. But when it gets to the point where you're basically like bullying them into, not bullying, but like pressuring them into accepting the nomination, it's pointless anyway.
Yeah. So Big Brother in 2015 has really just turned into like, can I please put you up on the block? Can I please put you up on the block? All right. Can I please vote you out this week? Can I evict you? Is it okay if you're the person that we evict this week? We need it to be somebody. Could you please do me a solid and let you be the person that we evict this week? Okay, fine. All right, fine. Then it got to the point where Liz is like, oh my God, Steve, he's being so annoying. Why won't he just let us put him on the block and shut the F up?
The twins are absolutely hilarious about that. They whatever they currently believe, they fully believe it. Like, we hate Vanessa. She's the worst. She betrayed us. You know, I always defended Vanessa. She's not that bad. We love Vanessa. Vanessa's the best. Steve has to go. No, we love Steve. They're hilarious.
They flip around, but they have convictions, which is good. So for Austin, but this was such an odd episode for him. He was just really so all over the place. And that speech has to be one of the most absurd in the history of Big Brother.
Yeah, I it was pretty clearly meant for Vanessa. So when Vanessa didn't go on the block, I mean, it made it even a level more ridiculous than it already was.
Hold on. So he wrote the speech. Then the speech was all about putting Vanessa on the block. Then he didn't put Vanessa on the block, but he kept the speech.
I can't, like, it must be it, because he's into, you know, romantic poetry, literature stuff. And I'm sure he wanted to have some sort of, you know, poetry speech kind of thing. And so when it came down to the last minute and he didn't know what he was going to do, he just went with a speech he already had. And I think he thought, well, I can always turn this into the Vanessa backdoor speech. So,
like, isn't the point of a Vanessa backdoor speech to not give a speech before you backdoor her?
Yeah. But I mean, this is Austin we're talking about.
Yeah. So that was so crazy. All of that stuff from Austin tonight. Really, really just wacky stuff. Steve tonight seemed like he was making some good points. Seems like he was really working on pushing the right buttons with Austin of, no, this is what Vanessa is doing. Vanessa is lying. See this? Here's the thing. I trust the twins. I don't trust Vanessa. She's going to be the, you know, the vote that's going to send me out if I go up on the block. And everything was good, 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 good. But then when he starts in with this, all right, I'll go up on the block, but not with Johnny Mac. That seemed to be a turnoff for Austin and the twins.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, and it actually wasn't too bad of a point with just Austin and the twins, because they didn't really catch anything about that. It was when they told Vanessa about it that Vanessa said, whoa, that's really sketchy. And they're like, whoa, you're right, that is sketchy. What they didn't show just how good of a job Steve was actually doing with Austin and the twins is to keep himself off the block. He had legitimately intimidated Austin into not doing it, into putting up Vanessa instead. And it was really coming down to whoever was going to talk to him last was going to, you know, influence his decision. And Vanessa happened to get to him last.
And so it ends up with Vanessa stays off the block. What were the twins pushing for all this time?
they were going back and forth. I think, yeah, they were. They'd say, "Oh, we have to do Vanessa. We have to." No. We have to just, Steve and Johnny Mac should just go up. That's what we should do. No, we can't do Steve. We have to do Vanessa. That was basically them. And, basically they read off of whatever Austin is kind of saying, and they agree with him wholeheartedly. So ultimately I think Julia in particular didn't want Vanessa up. Julia is a little bit more of a Vanessa advocate, where Liz kind of felt more like, she didn't want to put up Steve.
So let me ask you this question about Vanessa. Do you see a scenario where Vanessa is able to get the twins to throw Austin under the bus? Or do you think that there's no way that Austin can be separated from the twins?
If Liz is not in the picture, I think she can get Julia away from Austin. I think it's possible. As long as Liz is there, the twins are never going to turn against him, because Liz kind of knows that Austin will throw himself into the fire before one of them takes a hit. So
Vanessa couldn't float something to Liz about how, oh, Austin, he said this about you, and he said that he doesn't even think you're that cute, and he said that he's going to go back to his girlfriend at home, and he's just using you, and he has a thing for twins.
No, I don't think
what? That would work. Oh my God. No. Like, yep. He said it. Okay. All right. We'll see. That, what a subplot that would be.
It would be great, but I think they have to get Liz out first.
Okay. And then, not to get too far into Wednesday, how did Steve take the news? Was this a major blindside for him to end up on the block?
A little. I mean, he knew it was coming down to him or Vanessa, so it wasn't like a huge blindside, but he was definitely upset about it. And he was like, man, you know, hats off to Vanessa. She really beat me there. And he was pretty disappointed.
The thing about Vanessa, though, she really seemed to take the Austin made a deal with James and Meg thing pretty well. And she didn't really try to get him to go back on that deal too hard. Is that just something that they just cut out of the TV show?
Yeah, that she was pushing really hard for him to put up Meg initially, and to backdoor James potentially. And she was pushing harder than she should have, because Austin was shutting it down every single time she brought it up.
Did Austin get an HOH letter?
Yes, he did, but it was not from his ex-girlfriend.
Not from his ex-girlfriend, or who was his current girlfriend when he went into the house.
Yeah, I don't think he'd call her his current girlfriend anymore, though.
Okay, was he wondering about anything like that? Like, hey, that's weird. Didn't I have a girlfriend that when I went into the house? Did she write me a letter?
Well, they right after he won, he was talking with Liz, and Liz said, what if you know who is the one that wrote you a letter? And Austin was like, they wouldn't do that to me.
Yeah. They wouldn't do that. Okay, so interesting. But they didn't include it in the show, right?
No, I didn't see it, which I like, because I actually enjoyed this episode. Apart from, you know, Austin being annoying, I think this was a pretty action-packed episode with pretty much strategy from end to end. So
yeah, it was an oddly structured episode where it's a Sunday night episode, but it starts with the HOH competition. How did you think that played out on television, by the way?
I think it played out pretty well. I really enjoyed the slow-mo and the music.
Yeah.
That I liked that. And it is pretty interesting to see, you know, like the how close it was, how close it came down to. I didn't particularly like the competition, but you know, it's no worse than many other competitions. So
yeah, James versus Austin in a sprint is just so unfair, because for it to be as close as it was, it's like James took like 20 steps and Austin took like 10.
Oh yeah. James definitely is the faster runner. I think the difference was, Austin was set up. He had one leg up when he was down on the buttons, and James was on all fours. So it was going to take James a little bit longer to get up and a little bit longer to get to full speed. And then on top of that, Austin has longer limbs and he was able to reach for the button. James was actually closer to the button than Austin was, but Austin was able to reach out and slap it before James was.
According to Scott St. Pierre, he says it was as close as the this morning's World Track and Field Championship in the 100 meters.
Totally. And I totally watched that. So, yeah.
So for James, he just got a competition that did not, go to his strengths here. It should have been like to go there and back, or like it was such a short distance.
Well, I think any longer and the differences in athleticism would have been even more exaggerated.
Yeah. Okay. And so in terms of everybody else that's going on there in the house, after the competition, was there any sort of people reading into who was excited for Austin winning the competition?
Yeah. So Austin, first of all, Austin was kind of regretting winning the competition. He was like, I should have thrown this. We're allies with everybody. I didn't want to win this. I should have just thrown it to James, but you never know. I wanted to be safe, blah, blah, blah. But he was a little bit concerned that James was trying so hard to win. And Vanessa was kind of feeding into that. And that was pretty much it, though. There wasn't too much else. You know, there's usually more paranoia, but Austin is not too paranoid about James and Meg. He really, you trust them in that moment.
When Vanessa says that Steve has a final two with Johnny Mac and Clay and Shelley told that to her, is that the truth or was that a lie?
It is the truth. She was told by Clay and Shelley that Steve, or that Johnny Mac told them that he has a final two with Steve.
Okay. So Vanessa is able to finally get back on Austin's good side, even though he's mad at her earlier in the episode about lying, about that she didn't know James was trying to throw that HOH or that Battle of the Block when he was up there with Liz. She finally comes clean to Austin. How big of a deal was that?
You know, becoming clean, I don't think was as big of a deal as Austin was making it out to be. I think Austin's real problem, and he had this problem before he found out that Vanessa knew about James throwing the BOB, was that he felt really embarrassed about having to beg for his life the week that Vanessa was HOH. He had to very earnestly just say, please, Vanessa, please don't do this to me. I'm in love with Liz. I just want to make it to the jury. He was so desperate and he felt so embarrassed about that once he kind of came into power, that he felt that once Vanessa was kind of doing the same thing, apologizing to him and a little bit kind of begging him, like, you know, we should still be good. He felt, all right, I got her back. We're even now. I don't have to feel embarrassed about it. So I think that was the big thing that got him back on the level where he could work with her.
Now, let's just talk this through. And again, this is through just nominations. Did Austin make the correct decision in your mind?
Oh, I don't think he had many right decisions, to be honest.
Should he have had nothing to do with this HOH? He has a deal with every person. Isn't the benefit of having a deal with every person in the house to not win the competition?
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that how you leverage an alliance with every single person in the house?
Yes. The thing is, though, I'm not even sure that would have worked for him. I think he might have been in hot water this week anyway, because he's part of a trio that's inseparable, that are winning competitions, and he's always going to be a threat. So
if he threw that HOH to James, if he let James win HOH, who are James's nominees this week?
Probably Vanessa and Johnny Mac, or Vanessa and Steve.
Okay. Is that probably a better world for Austin this week than the world he currently inhabits? Put that in your imaginarium.
Here's the thing. If Vanessa goes home and a juror member comes back, there's no more target for the juror member and the remaining James and Meg. They were absolutely going to go for Austin the Twins the next week. So there wasn't really a right decision, because they made too many promises the last week, and they peaked too early. They won HOH and POV. They didn't need to that week, and that made them even more of a visible target for this week and then the coming weeks.
So should he have nominated Vanessa then, in your mind?
I don't think so. I think his only chance is if Vanessa's in the house, because Vanessa is the only person that might be a target ahead of him in the Twins.
So should he have betrayed his deal to James and Meg?
I think so. I think Johnny Mac and Steve would have worked with Austin the Twins longer than James and Meg would have. If James leaves this week, then Meg would be by herself, and Meg, as we all know, isn't going to win many competitions. And then if a person returns from the jury that wants to align with Meg, that's still only two people. He's got the rest of the house, and Vanessa is still ahead of him as a potential target.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I don't know why you keep James around. He seems like the guy who's going to be dangerous in the competition. Are they just afraid that he's going to win the competition to come back into the game?
That was a big fear, but really what it came down to is Austin likes James a lot, and he likes James and Meg, and he didn't want to do it to them. He really wanted to work with them, even all the way down to the final five.
Well, that's bad. That's really bad to let your personal feelings influence it that much, because it seems to me that if you leave James and Meg in the house, and all of a sudden here comes Jackie on Thursday night, here comes Shelly, she could end up working with those guys. It's you have a lot of outs there, I think, left for them.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, really, even Becky could be more aligned with them. Is that fair to say?
Oh yeah. Pretty much anybody that came back would have gone after Austin the Twins, really, or Vanessa if she's in the house.
So basically, no matter what, somebody's coming back in that's going to be going after them. So does that change anything?
I think what it says is that he needs to do, I mean, ultimately he has to pick a side this week. And so he needs to be able to get as many allies as he can on his side this week and as little enemies as he can for next week, so that at most there's only two people coming after him and he has a solid five on his end. And especially if Vanessa's in the house, she might be a target ahead of him and the Twins. It's not guaranteed, but Vanessa is very annoying and very threatening, so you never know.
Yeah, but that's not what he's doing, though. That's the problem.
No. Yeah. I mean, he's a little bit thinking along those lines. And another thing that we didn't see in the show was another large part of what changed Austin's mind was when Vanessa said, it would be so dumb for you guys to lose me this week because I'm attached to nobody in the house but you guys. I'm alone and I'm just a number for you. Nobody else even trusts me in the house. It would be so bad for you to lose me. And that really finally kind of clicked in his head, like, oh, maybe she's right about that. Maybe we do need her in.
Okay. All right. You ready to take some questions here from the listeners?
Absolutely.
All right. Let's fire up the questions. Hashtag RHAP. And let's start with question number one tonight. And it is from our great friend Umberto. Austin or Judas, which one is the one with no balls that gets intimidated by Steve and Vanessa in 5 minutes? Was that Judas or Austin?
It's probably Austin. I think Judas was the one that was drunk the night before that was just like, whatever.
Yes, yes. Now, I thought that the whole Judas thing is that Judas wears the top hat and he always lies, but sometimes Austin tells us what Judas is saying. And so if Austin tells us what Judas is saying and Judas always lies, do we believe the opposite of what Judas is always saying?
I think I know the solution to this, right? You have to ask, is the other one, what would the other one tell me if I asked them what the truth was?
Very confusing, Austin. Yeah. And Judas. Yes. Okay, let's take this question from Wally Lai 202. When he says Vanessa won't ruin my HOH or run my HOH, was that Austin or Judas? Because it's happening. Okay, that must have been Judas.
Like, yeah, it must have been.
Lies. And Judas said, I'm not going to let Vanessa run my HOH. And then that was a lie because then she is going to run his HOH.
Yeah, he was lying to us.
Got it. Okay. Then let's go to Logan Rex, who says, how does Vanessa think Meg is the mastermind on the other side? We'll talk about that when we get to the live feeds. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Then this is from Leighton Jansen. For the people coming back, whose game will be ruined most by this twist, or will it be a revolving door? All right. Who stands to lose the most this Thursday night when somebody comes back into the house?
It depends. It's between Austin, the twins, or Vanessa. They're the people who stand to lose the most because they're the people who will be targeted by any of the people returning from the jury house. So,
yeah, Vanessa has really earned her stripes. And really, if she can win this season, I really am starting to feel like, you know, she's really earned it, where she's faced so much adversity this season. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, I think a lot of it was of her own doing, but yeah. a lot of it was, you know, bad luck, like the battle of the block ending and then two endurance competitions in a row. So, you know, it's up and down, but she's definitely an impressive player. And I think that, the way that she set herself up in week two has really carried her to where she is now, despite her, you know, failures here and there.
And in that last confessional we saw from Steve, he is like, I have so much respect. I have to tip my cap to what Vanessa was able to do. She's so good at this game. She's fantastic. I mean, to the people that are saying there's no way Vanessa will win in the final two, I think they're dead wrong on that.
I agree. I think she almost definitely will win in the final two, hands down. The only way I can see it not happening is if she just really goes off the deep end and like goes even crazier and really, really annoys people.
Yeah. And it could happen.
It certainly could, but I think if she makes it to the end, she's going to win.
Okay. So let's take this question. This is from Bobby S. Is Steve the worst social player this season? Time after time, he gives people reasons not to trust him by getting so defensive. Should Steve be the target instead? All right. Let's just answer that question in terms of Steve and his social game. Taryn, do you think that Steve is really bad about his social game? Because I feel like a lot of people would also say Steve is very under the radar good with his social game.
Steve's social game has improved, I think, a lot since week one. The work that he had been doing this week and continues to do this week, has been very good. He's been able to bond with people, that he previously wasn't able to before. And, he still sketches people out here and there. He still makes mistakes, but I don't think he's a terrible social player anymore. I think he's really started to grow, into somebody who can play the game.
Okay. Let's take another question. This is from Sergio. Sergio says, Austin hasn't been nominated so far. Don't you think his game is better than we think? Should we be giving Austin more credit for somebody who hasn't been on the block? No. Remember, he's somebody who in week one, it was like, who's it going to be, Jace or Austin, right?
It was mostly Jace, though. Austin was safe at the time.
Okay. So it looked like he was going to be the next to go.
He was in danger, yes, for a few weeks after that, until he did his whole I'm here for Liz spiel.
Yes.
I don't think the fact that he hasn't been nominated is more to do with the fact that people he happened to be aligned with were winning in the beginning when he was in trouble. And then they got themselves in trouble for the next few weeks. And now he's been in power for a couple of weeks. I think an Austin nomination is coming soon.
Because go back to the beginning of the season and all the preseason stuff that we did. I think we all were saying, like, oh, Austin, he's going to be such a comp threat. People will vote him out because he's so threatening in the house.
Yeah, he's definitely done a good job with that. I mean, I don't think he's done a lot of it intentionally. I think he just is kind of bad at a lot of these competitions. But again, I think a huge part of his perception in the house is stemming from that week where he went around to everyone saying, please don't send me home. I'm just here for Liz. I fell in love with a girl. I've messed up my life. Don't do this to me. He really came off as kind of pathetic. And that's why he was so embarrassed. And that's why he's been able to, slide under the radar until now.
Hey, Austin, I'm telling you, coming off pathetic, that's the way to go. Trust me on this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got me this far.
He shouldn't be embarrassed about it. It's done him really well.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Then from Nuked Rifle, do you think it was a bad move on production side to announce a returning player from Jury? This led to people making not as big of a move because they're scared of having them come back. How do you think it would have changed this week if it was a secret? Like, so for instance, with Becky, where, you know, she's saying like, oh, I would have done this, but I don't want to screw up my chances if I get a chance to come back.
Yeah, I say this all the time. Returning players, I don't like it. Telling them ahead of time, it causes all of these negative things to happen. It makes people be more conservative. It makes people, you know, not campaign the way that they need to, like Becky. But at the same time, if you don't tell them, it's more of an unfair twist, which I know some people aren't concerned about, but I don't particularly like twists like that, like somebody coming back into the house and you had no idea it was even going to happen. I mean, that could ruin a really good player's game. And they usually tell them ahead of time. So, you know, I just prefer that it didn't happen at all.
So in this case, it's always expect the expected.
Yeah. And I think it comes down to personal preference.
Okay. Let's take some more questions. This is from Jal Dota. Is there something I'm missing on this whole Judas thing? I actually don't get it. He acts like it's a secret personality, yet talks to people about it. What am I missing? Is this because Shelley and Clay exposed Judas to the house?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happened. And he had to go around and tell everyone.
Is this why Austin is so attracted to the twins? Because he has another twin, which is stuck inside him.
That's it. You figured him out.
Yes.
It's expressing Judas would probably be with Julia.
Yes. And so do we think that when Judas takes over, he should try to get with Julia? Or is this like some like creepy move that he's going to try to pull at some point? Like, hey, I'm Judas now. Judas has an eye for you, Julia. Why don't you come over here?
Exactly. You can just, you know, claim, you know, I'm Judas. I'm not Austin. So,
oh, my God, I hate Austin. Like, well, I'm Judas. Oh, okay.
Julia likes the bad boys, or so she says. So.
She likes the bad boy, so she likes Judas.
Exactly.
So this is from Paul Reaney, who says, do you all agree that it's official? Austin is playing BB for camera time with D-list acting. Austin is the Ed Wood of Big Brother. Are you buying that, Taryn, or do we lose you with Ed Wood?
I know there's a movie about Ed Wood.
Yeah.
And I know that he's really bad at movies.
Yeah.
I never watched the movie, unfortunately.
That's fine. You get it.
I do get it. I think this is what Austin's been doing the whole game. I remember in week one or something, he was like, oh, this is the underground movement we're starting. Like, he's a wrestler. He wants to play it up. You know, if you saw Peter Brown in Big Brother Canada season one, I think he had similar intentions.
So he's trying too hard. We all agree?
Definitely.
See, the thing about wrestling is that we like that stuff in our wrestling. The thing about reality TV, I think that most people, don't we want to see authenticity? Don't we watch a reality show because we want to see people as they are in extreme circumstances and not people playing a character under, like, isn't the appeal of reality TV, hey, here are authentic, real people not playing a character?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why Zach last season was so well-liked, because he was just so earnest and genuine and everything. I mean, I know his speeches were kind of rehearsed, but, you know, that diary room where he's in tears, you know, people like seeing the genuine emotion.
Yeah. And sometimes that is a character. And that's, I think, what has been the appeal of Johnny Mac. And I don't think Johnny Mac is doing a character, but Johnny Mac's character is sort of like, yeah, I just don't feel like dealing with all the BS in the house.
Exactly.
And I think that's his character, even though it's authentic.
Yeah, exactly. And same thing with Donnie, right? Where Donnie's just like, I don't want to deal with these fake people. Like, I can't do Donnie's accent, but...
I don't want to deal with these fake people.
Yeah.
I'm very rusty on that. Very rusty on that. But yeah, I got it. I got it. So let's go to Pad Ted, who says, too many people in the house. Vanessa is the villain. Do you think she knows she's the villain? I think that we're missing a word there. But too many people in the house think Vanessa is the villain. Do you think she knows that she's the villain? Absolutely not, right?
No.
She's the hero of her narrative.
Yeah, people have kind of tried to hint to her before, many times, really. Hey, you know, it kind of rubs people the wrong way when you do this. Johnny Mac said that, like, I don't like it when you cry and yell at people. She doesn't really hear criticism very well. I don't think she sees herself as the villain for sure.
No, I don't think she does either. And it's interesting. I mean, I don't know how many people do see themselves as the villain outside of like a Russell Hance or a Johnny Fairplay when you're actually in the game. Do you think that often happens?
No, probably not. I mean, we've probably got, you know, like Dr. Will, but...
But he was sort of like, yeah, really wasn't the villain. He was doing some villainous things, but, you know, just as many people loved him as we might have hated him.
Yeah, well, he was like a lovable villain. I think Amanda knew she was the villain.
Okay, I'd buy that. I'd buy that. But she would have emotional outbursts, too. Okay, this is from Sports Lover. Would Steve trust the Oss twins if Vanessa is backdoored? I think he'd really trust them at that point.
Not if he was up first, right? Because he was telling Austin the twins, if you put us, me and Johnny Mac up, or Meg and James, it's telling me that you're with Meg and James and not us. And I mean, that's very true.
Yeah. So I think it would be a good stepping stone, though, right?
I mean, it's better than taking one of them out for sure. But if they wanted to keep their trust, they shouldn't have nominated him in the first place.
Okay. Let's take another question. This is from Proud Nurse. My favorite night for RHAP is Sunday because Taryn, he's the best. Well, now he's going to get a big head if you do that. If you say stuff like that. So
my head is already really big.
Don't be like an Austin now. Okay. All right. Whose head is bigger, yours or James's? See, can you balance it on your neck?
Yeah, I probably have better neck strength than James.
Okay, your neck is
a lot of head banging.
Okay. All right. Then let's take this question from Big Brother Rupert says, who is coming back into the game? Hashtag BB17. Hashtag Rupert Toe Becky. The good question. Who's coming back on Thursday?
You know, we don't even know what competition it's going to be, so it's pretty difficult to tell.
Doesn't matter. Well, who is it? Call your shot.
I'll call it for whoever's evicted this week.
Okay. You think a revolving door?
I think it'll come right back.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Legendary Drew, who says, why is the unanimous decision always the dangerous one to the house guests? Why is the unanimous decision Audrey and Vanessa always the dangerous one to the house guests? So I guess this question is, when the whole house wants to do something, why do people like, wait, well, hold on a second. I don't know if I want to do this if everybody wants to do it.
I don't think it always happens, but the times that it has happened, it's been, you know, Audrey when Shelley and Vanessa were HOH and they were allies with Audrey. So when the whole house was saying, let's take Audrey out, they were like, well, maybe that's good for you guys, but I don't know if that's good for me. And the same situation has happened with Audrey and Vanessa. So it's just a matter of conflicting interest, really.
Okay. All right. Let's go to one more question, then we'll do the live feed. This is from Sakashi's Broadcasting Channel. Has Vanessa finally risen back to the top? All right. We'll hold on that when we get to the live feeds. One more question before live feeds, if you have one, Scott. Or if let's do this from Spicy Wasabi. If Vanessa gets Oss twins to turn on James and Meg, would it be the move of the season?
It would be one of the moves of the season. It would be very good. there's probably something we should talk about with the live feeds.
Okay. All right. So let's go. We'll go ahead and switch over into the live feeds. Before we get to that, let me take a moment and thank a sponsor here on the podcast. And those are our friends over at Mazda. And let me pull that up and right here. Yes, because if driving matters to you, driving with the windows down, with the wind blowing through your hair, like Austin running in slow motion, the smell of pine trees and fresh asphalt, you look forward to these moments when it's just you in the road, no distractions, handling every curve just like she's running Austin's HOH and feeling every nuance in the road. Ask yourself, does driving matter to you? Because if it does, we build cars just for you, because to us, driving matters. Mazda, let's do the live feed.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Let's talk about the spoilers. Taryn, are you ready?
I'm very ready.
Very ready. Okay. So Let's talk about things. Where do we stand with the power of veto?
The power of veto, as Julie mentioned, was Zinbot, and Vanessa won the power of veto.
Okay, so we had the Zinbot back in the picture, and then Vanessa wins the power of veto. So no backdoor for Vanessa this week, and we had the Zinbot. Tara, anything eventful from the Zinbot?
I think I don't know if we ever actually heard what it was, but Austin did get a joke about our thing about his current/ex girlfriend. Vanessa got a zing that was something like your game is masterful, your crying games, your masterful crying game, something. People were talking about how Zingbot said he was playing masterful game, but crying a lot.
And Taryn, as your connection has gone out, you are now a perfect sound double for the Zingbot.
Do I sound better now?
Yeah, can you give us a zing?
Zing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Oh my god. No, really. Very well done on the masterful Zingbot impression. So hopefully you will come back to full audio quality soon. All right. So tell me How much was Vanessa in danger prior to winning the veto?
Not very much in danger.
So let Taryn drop out and then have him come right back. Let me tell you about what's coming up the rest of the week. We are going to be having, of course, on Wednesday, we'll be live with Jason this Wednesday night. And then after the eviction on Thursday night, I'll be back to talk about the eviction and also what's going on with the person who comes back into the house this Thursday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern. We also have, in addition to our podcast with Eric Stein to talk about the Full House unauthorized story, I also am going to be trying to track down the writer of the Big Brother, the unauthorized story. That is the oral history of Big Brother article that was written on Huffington Post. I'm going to try to contact the author of that story this week and get a podcast with that person. Plus, hopefully it should be an eventful week in terms of a Survivor as well. And then also we will have coverage of Fear the Walking Dead coming up later on this week on post show recap. So very excited to be switching over to watch that once this show is done. We're not going to have a live Fear the Walking Dead show like we do with the regular Walking Dead on post show recaps, but we will have the audio version of that up on postshowrecaps.com. All right. So if it looks like, according to Taryn and according to everybody on the internet, that Vanessa has won the power of veto, so she will not be going home. And so it looks like, based on whether or not there will be the renomination this week, we'll see either Steve or Johnny Mac go home this Thursday night. Taryn, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Taryn, I've never been so happy to see you.
I'm so sorry. My internet has just acted up out of nowhere. I do not know what happened.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. So, Taryn, let me catch my breath and ask you. All right, so Vanessa winning the veto and a possible renomination. Do you think that we will see one of these two nominees come down?
Yes, as of right now, she was really, she talked to Johnny Mac this morning, and Johnny Mac finally started to play ball with her and say, and come clean with everything he has against her. And she was able to clear the air a bit. And so she feels like she can work with Johnny Mac. She went and talked to Steve and kind of cleared the air with him. She feels like I can maybe work with Steve too. She's trying to, regroup and kind of get her plan, her original plan, back in action, where she's got Austin and the twins, and then a side thing that Austin and the twins don't know about, which is Johnny Mac and Steve. So she's trying to get James to go up as a replacement.
Okay. So how would that shake things up if James was to go? First off, is Austin on board with this?
He's not completely on board yet, but very close to getting
Give
there.
Give it an hour.
Yeah.
From the last I saw, he was very close. And Vanessa was doing a pretty good job of talking him into it. She was coaching Johnny Mac and Steve about like what to say to Austin and the twins to try and get that to happen. During the episode, I saw Steve and Austin were talking, and it sounded like Austin was pretty convinced that he should go after James.
Okay. So do they have the votes to take James out?
Yes. If one of them, if one of Steve or Johnny Mac comes down, then they will have the votes to send James out the door.
But at the point now that you've made an enemy out of Steve, potentially at the point of view, if you made an enemy out of Johnny Mac, if you're Austin, don't you have to finish the job with one of these guys?
I do believe so. He's allowed Vanessa to kind of take root in his group that should be his, and kind of steal Johnny Mac and Steve from him, or at least it appears that way at the moment, because he showed them that they're, you know, expendable to him, where Vanessa was able to come in and kind of swoop in and say, hey, I'm going to save you guys. I'm going to get Austin to put up James. And Austin, having just betrayed James, as soon as that juror comes back in, I'm sure they're going to want to work with Meg and potentially Steve and Johnny Mac and say, let's go after Austin and the twins.
Oh boy. Okay. So how do you expect this week to go down? Do you think that James is going out on Thursday?
If I had to guess, I would say that's what it looks like it's leaning toward right now. There's a whole day left, and the more Austin talks to James and Meg, he could change his mind because he likes them so much. But that's how I see it going. I see James going up, and I don't know how much of a fight he'll put up, to be honest.
So wouldn't this week just pretty much just be the reset button if James comes back? So how would things shape up if Zombie James returns to the house on Thursday?
I believe we would see Meg and James trying to get Steve and Johnny Mac on board, saying Austin and the twins are clearly working with Vanessa. We need to form an alliance of four against them and try to take them out. So
would they go for that, or would they go with Vanessa?
I think they'd probably go with Vanessa. They probably pretend to go with Meg and James, but then not, you know, probably throw the HOH or something, let the two sides kind of battle it out. And at the end of the, they should really be going, what they should be thinking is, okay, we'll ride with Vanessa. We'll cut down some of the Austin and the twin numbers. With one or two of them cut, they're going to be probably good people to take to the end. So let's cut Vanessa somewhere like final five, which is what they should do. But I don't really know. We haven't really seen Steve and Johnny Mac talk too much about this whole new Vanessa loyalty thing. So as far as I know, they could be completely playing her at the moment just to save themselves this week. And next week, they'll still be after her.
Okay. Let's take a question from Alexandra W., who says, what should Meg and James be doing tonight to prevent one of them from either going up and tomorrow and leaving Thursday?
Yeah, see, Meg and James have done a really good job of endearing Austin and the twins to them. But they, just like the same problem I had with Jason when Jason was in the house, he was so good, he was so likable, just not on top of things. they have sat this week completely out. They haven't talked to Austin the Twins about who they're putting up, what the strategy is, barely at all. They've just been like, all right, we trust you guys. We'll just kick back and not say anything. And that's really given Vanessa the room she needs to play and get in there and turn Austin against them, because he hasn't even talked to them for a while. So that's really been their downfall.
Got to do check-ins in the Big Brother house and Survivor. Let's do from Simi Afolabi, who says there's been a lot of chatter about Vanessa bribing some house guests. I didn't see this. Did it happen? I saw a couple people have been tweeting about this as well. Are there contestants talking about splitting the money?
Yeah, so the twins talked about, yeah, if I win this, I'm splitting it with you for sure.
To each other?
Yes, with each other. And apparently the diary room has no problem with this. They didn't get called out for it or anything. Vanessa also has talked about with Austin, hey, if one of us wins, let's split the money and take half of it and use that half as a stake and we'll gamble it. So if he wins, he'll give her half the money to gamble and they will split the winnings of the gambling. And she was kind of spinning it like, we can turn it into kind of a spin-off show. And if I win and I give you the money, I'll coach you through the gambling, that kind of thing.
Has she come clean with being a professional gambler?
Oh yeah. They've known that she was a poker player for a while. They don't know the extent to which she was a poker player. But Austin, after she made that proposition, was kind of like, I think she's made a lot of money. Because...
Is that why he was on board with, it's like, okay, well, I could go with Vanessa, and then even if I don't win, like, I'll still have a chance to, you know, make a couple hundred grand if she gambles the money? Even though she'll never actually do that with him if she doesn't win?
From what he told the twins, he wasn't interested in it at all. He wasn't really interested in gambling with the money. So I don't think so, but you never know. She also mentioned something about trying to give them a gift if she won, like a car or something.
Oh my God. It's so nice.
Yep.
Okay. Let's do one last question here with Taryn tonight. This is from Logan Rex. How does Vanessa think Meg is the mastermind of the other side? Great, great question, because we didn't touch on this before. Talk to me about Meg is the mastermind. Master Meg.
Yeah. So I actually talked about this on Twitter a little bit. So Meg is a very good social player. She's very likable. She's very terrible at competitions, and that makes for a great social player. Everyone likes her. And Vanessa can only see strategy. That's Vanessa's one note. And so I think what's happening is Vanessa sees that Meg is playing socially decently well, and she's mistaking it for strategy. She's like, well, Meg is masterminding this whole thing. She's got people to go against me. She's got Austin and the twins convinced. It's like, no, they just like her. That's pretty much the extent of it. But Vanessa sees it differently because she sees things differently.
So how is she acting on that information?
She's trying to get Meg backdoored ahead of James. Wow. Yeah.
That'd be a mistake.
Well, she doesn't care about James's retaliation because she's probably not going to be the brunt of it. But yeah, she suggested it. Austin pretty quickly shut it down. She had the twins a little bit on board, but I don't see Austin going there.
Oh my God. Meg is such a mastermind.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Oh my God. All right. So, all right, Taryn, good stuff tonight. Let's make the hashtag Master Meg. I like that.
Master Meg.
Okay. So 24 hours from now, when we tune on, you go on Twitter, we see what's happened on Monday. What should we expect to have seen?
I think we'll see. I'm not sure who will get taken off yet, but I think we'll see one of Steve and Johnny Mac taken off the block. And James is a replacement.
Okay.
And so James will probably be going home.
Poor James.
One more thing, actually, with Vanessa and Johnny Mac, the conversation they had, Johnny Mac came completely clean to her, and Johnny Mac seems like he's really willing to work with her secretly. He wants to do it secretly, which they should. And I really see if Johnny Mac and Vanessa both really stick to that, I can really see them going far and that being really successful for them. So keep an eye out for that if it's genuine.
All right. Well, we will see what happens. All right. So Full House podcast with Eric Stein. That's going to be up on Monday morning about the unauthorized Full House story. Plus, we'll have our live shows Wednesday and Thursday night, and then we'll do our exit interview with the person who gets kicked out of the house unless they go back into the house on Friday, coming up on as far as all of our Big Brother coverage. So check that out. And then over on Post Show Recaps, look for our podcast talking about the premiere of Fear the Walking Dead. Taryn, great to have you here. Back with me. I appreciate you so much more having you here with me.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. I feel so terrible.
No problem. All right. Follow Armstrong Taryn on Twitter, and then we will see you on Wednesday night. Looking forward to hearing your comments on robinsonwebsite.com. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.